Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, the very first chapter. You know, we speak on the home, and what Pastor was saying about prayer, we're not preaching on that tonight, but there's no doubt about it. A home that has no prayer is going to be very difficult to have a good home. And so that's something we've got to do in our homes. We need God's power, God's help. Yes. You know, we preached on the structure of the home, and then we preached on having a strong marriage. Last week we preached on the purpose of the home, some purposes of the home. Tonight we want to preach on the subject, the home, God's supply house. God's supply house. Proverbs, the first chapter, please stand. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Let us pray. Father, we sure need you. We need your power, your wisdom. Lord, tonight as we preach this message, we believe you have given it to us. We believe it's what we're supposed to do. And Lord, it won't be done properly without you. So I ask you, God, to help this preacher as I preach and help all of us, Lord, to receive it in such a way that, Lord, we can be helped by it and encouraged by it. So we want to thank you and praise you for your goodness and kindness. In the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in verse 7, very simple verses of scripture. You're most of are very familiar with it. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I used to illustrate this. If you had a pencil and you wanted to draw a line, you could not draw a line until you place the pencil down. It has to start somewhere. The line does not exist unless you put it on the paper somewhere and began to draw. God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You cannot have true knowledge without the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning. And that's what God says. He says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now listen to this, because he seems to be talking to young people here. We'll notice here in just a moment. But you notice he says, if you despise wisdom and instruction, you're a fool. Now isn't that pretty well what he's saying? You're a fool. I don't want to be a fool. Do you want to be a fool? I don't want to be a fool. Well, that's what God says. Then he says, my son, then he says, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. I used to tell people, daddy's supposed to set the instructions down, put down how the home is run, and then mom, while he's gone, makes it law. And basically, that's what happens. And he says, we're to hear instructions of our father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, listen to what he says. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I want you to do me a favor real quickly. I want everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes for just a moment. Would you do that, please? I want you to, if you notice anything when I tell you to look, if you notice anything different about this pastor, you can look up now. It's a dunce hat, I know. Did you notice something different? Yeah, I mean, did you see something different?
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. God says they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head. Now bow your heads again. Close your eyes. Now you can look. Do you see anything? Something different? Now, you say, Brother Ross, how silly. No, I want you to understand something. That's exactly what young people and children do when they obey their mothers and fathers. You can see it. It's evident. Even a child is known by his ways. I've watched it down through the years. I can tell you many, many times back then. I could tell you right now whether children were obeying their mother and father by just looking at them and watching them. You see, you see it. It's there. You can't get by with it. You may put on a show, but you won't get by with it because it'll come out. Now, let me state this before we get started. You got to also, though, remember the age of the children. A 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old is not going to act like a 10-year-old. They've got to learn. They've got to be taught. It takes time. Okay? And so remember, a 5-year-old is not going to act like a 15-year-old. It's got to be taught. It's got to be trained. Amen? But they certainly can have these principles begin to put in them and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So I'm simply saying to you, you watch. It's pretty evident when a child, I'm not talking about a child that just does something wrong. I haven't found any of them that didn't. I'm not talking about once in a while they pull a goodie. I'm talking about a consistent way of life. That's what they are, you see. And it'll show in these children. Amen? I see children do goofy things, and Donna and I, we sit back and kind of laugh and try not to do it too much outwardly, but we can enjoy it sometimes. They do some goofy things, and we kind of enjoy that. But it's not the way they usually live. They just pull some dandies, don't they? But when a child lives consistently disobeying mom and dad and living in an improper way, then you know, it says here, they haven't obeyed their mother and their father. Because it's showing what they are. Now, I believe with all of my heart that youth across America is in real trouble. I really believe. I don't mean they can't be helped, but I believe we've got real problems. And I'm going to, at the end of this message, kind of show you what one of the things I believe is causing a lot of this. But I believe also that the youth problem is just not out there in the world. I believe it's also in our churches. I believe there's drug problems, alcohol, tobacco, and rebellion against the home right in our churches. And I believe that very few youth departments are really on fire for God. Now, I believe something. I believe we have a great youth department. Pastor, I mean that. I believe we do. I believe you got youths are doing a wonderful job. I'm just saying, though, across this nation, there's not a whole lot of youth departments that's really on fire for God. You see, they'll come for the fun times, the good times, when you entertain them. But when it comes to right down spiritual times, you don't find them coming. And I'm saying to you, we've got some wonderful young people, whether you've noticed it or not. I look at these young people, see them here every Sunday, see them sitting, many of them sitting up here on the front row, and I like that. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. I don't know where everybody else is sitting, but I like it. Thank you. I like it. Thank you. That's a great thing. Amen. And we got some wonderful young people, but I want to tell you something. The youth in America is in real trouble. See, we keep usually only a handful of them after the age of 18. They're gone. Some of our bus kids, I've watched that down through the years. Our bus kids will come, and when they get past a senior, then all at once they're gone. And a lot of that is the problem is they don't have any help at home. The ones that you see make it, you'll usually find out that their mothers and fathers got involved, begin to serve God. But there is exceptions, thank God. And thank God for that. But I'm just saying the real problem in our youth today, I believe if we don't get this thing corrected, we're looking at what's going to happen and what tomorrow is going to be. We've got to start training these young people. We have got to get their hearts right with God. We have got to raise some dedicated, godly young people. And I believe it'll solve most of the problems of tomorrow if we'll get that done. You say, Brother Ross, you think we're doing a good job here? I think so. I do. I think we're doing a great job. But I'm going to tell you, we better keep at it. And we better keep doing it. And let me tell you why. Because the home is the cornerstone of our society. The home is the cornerstone of our nation. And also of our churches. Amen? You see, our nation, our churches depend on the quality and strength of our families. I tell you, Pastor Jerry, you do a great job preaching to us and teaching us, and I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, if that didn't go from the pulpit into the hearts of these people out here, and it manifests itself in the homes, it would be useless. Because it's in the home where it has to basically take place. Amen. And we need a preacher preaching at us. Boy, we need that. He preached a good message last Sunday on, what was it, the past? I can't remember what you said it was. It was getting past the past. That was a wonderful message. An encouraging message. But I want to tell you something. You and I don't need encouraging messages all the time. We need to be whipped. We need to be spanked. And we need to be told where we're going wrong and how to get right. You see, and our young people need this. We're not going to grow strong young people if they don't hear strong preaching. And thank God we hear it here. Over in England, and I can't remember who this was, but it's been years and years ago, this one man asked this preacher, and it might have been Moody. It might have been Spurgeon. Spurgeon was from over there. It might have been him. But he said, what do you think England will be in 20 years? And he said this. He said, you tell me where the youth are on Sunday and what they're doing the rest of the week, and I'll tell you exactly what England will be. Now, I want to tell you right now, you can tell me where the youth are on Sunday and what they're doing the rest of the week, and I'll tell you what America's going to be. So we've just got to build our young people and reach as many of them as we can. You see, we're desperate in need for Bible-believing churches which will preach the truth, and not only preach it, practice the truths of God's word. We need that badly, see. I'm saying to you folks, where are, and I'll talk about this probably later, but where are those that are answering the call to preach? We need churches. I'm not talking about liberal churches that'll go out here and start and be a social activity. I'm talking about we're in dire need of preachers that'll get up and just preach the Bible, the Word of God. And just lay it out the way it is. Yes, have compassion in their preaching, but they must preach the truth of God's Word. And we need that. We're in desperate need of that. Where are the leaders of the future going to come from? See, God doesn't call his preachers from among the worldly, cold, backslidden, sensuous, pleasure-minded Christians. Now, I remember back in the 60s and the 70s, and we may have mentioned this before, but the 60s and the 70s was a special time in America. God raised up men across this nation, including this pastor, and I'm nothing, but I'm just saying to you, I was in the midst of it. And God raised up men and called them out to preach the word of God, and church after church after church after church was started across this nation. Good, solid churches. Amen? Now, you know something? The parents that raised us and the parents that raised some of those preachers may not have even been the godliest people in the world, but they taught their children character traits. They put things into them that would help them the rest of their life. And then when they got called of God to preach, they just went out and preached it. I've told you this before, but folks, I don't know where it's at, but back honestly, when I got called to preach, honestly, I do not remember one time thinking, even going through my mind, I'm not going to do this. Never, that did not enter my mind. As soon as I knew that God called me to preach, I didn't know I had a choice. And Pastor Jerry, we've talked about this. All I done then was I thought to myself, well, how is this going to take place? I don't know how God's going to do this. But I never once thought, do I want to do this? That didn't enter my mind. I knew it's what God wanted, and I had to do it. I had to, no choice. Now I hear people talking about, well, you know, I don't know if I want to be a preacher or not, or, you know, I don't know. I've been telling God, I just don't know if I... Well, what's the matter with you? We need people who will just say, yes, I'm going to preach when God calls. Amen? I know God don't call everybody, but folks, where are the young men? Where are the young men across this nation? Where are they that needs to just raise up and say, I'll do whatever God says? And I know there's some out there. I understand it, but we don't have enough. You understand? And I believe personally it's the home that must prepare us. I believe my home prepared me to answer the call of God. And they didn't tell me that I was going to be called. They didn't even suggest I was going to be called. But I believe they put into me things that God could look down and say, son, I want you to preach. And you just done it. But a lot of that's not being put into our young people. It's not being put into them. And so they're not even thinking about listening for the call of God upon their life. They're thinking about, how much money can I make? Goodness gracious alive. We need just men, young men, to just say, I'm going to preach. You know that I was 30 years old when God called me? Get saved when I was 26, and 4 years later, God called me, and I had all of my family, all of my children was born. I didn't think once about saying no, because it was in me. And I think the things that my dad and mom put in me helped me to say absolutely. God, I'll do it. So I believe we're going to have to do that. God's not going to look down here at a bunch of these people that's running around saying I'm a Christian, and they're cold-hearted, they're pleasure-minded, and you think he's going to reach down and take their children out of their home because they've learned to be cold-hearted and pleasure-minded too, and call them to preach? We've got to raise our young people and say to our young people, prepare for God's service. No, he may not call you, but you be ready. And I believe that today. I think every person out here, every young person especially, but anybody ought to be there saying, you know, God may not call me, but God, if you call me, I'm ready to go. No one is asking you and hasn't asked the young people of this church to go against what God says. We've always said you do what God wants. But don't you think you ought to get ready so he can use you? If he chose to. You see, what is happening is this. Satan is killing the missions. He's killing the churches. And you know how he's doing it? He's cutting off the supply house. The God's supply house is the home. And so the missions, the mission field, the preachers are being cut off because he is destroying the home. Satan's destroying the home, not getting the home ready for their children to be used of God. And oh, Satan is just killing things. He's cut off the supply house, which is the home. Amen. I want to look at one thing, basically, the rest of the message. I believe one of the great problems that we've seen down through the years, in these latter years, and it's simply one basic problem I believe we have. Now, there's a bunch of them. I'm going to deal with this one. Your pastor is telling us some of the enemies of the family, Sunday nights. I want to tell you one thing that I believe is helping to destroy the supply house. Permissiveness. Benjamin Spock and all of those wicked men that wrote their books simply said, bring up children without discipline. Let your children do whatever they want to do. Just let them live the way they want. There's another man by the name of A.S. Neal who wrote a book, but he called it Summer Hill. I want you to listen to some of the things he taught. Here's what he said. Adults have no right to insist on obedience from their children. Children must be free to do whatever they want. Children and adults are equal. Children should not be asked to work, to get out of bed, or to do anything. Now you kids, quit clapping. That's what he's taught in his book. He also said religion should not be taught. God, heaven, hell, sin are all myths. He taught this. Now you say, Brother Ross, a lot of people won't buy all that, and I believe that is true. A lot of people won't, but let me tell you, they'll buy enough of it that it'll help destroy their homes. Preached the very first message here on the structure of the home. We better get back to structuring the home as God structured it. Because you get your structure wrong, you've got problems. Understand? You get your structure wrong, you've got problems. Now here's the problem. Too many people have no concept whatsoever of what no means. Permissiveness. Just listen to me for a few moments, and I think you'll understand. No is seldom made to stand. So even if dad, mom, the church, police, or even God say no, they really don't think they mean it. And the reason for that is, in the home, when no is dictated and said, they don't believe it because no one backs it up. How many times do you have to say no? I'm talking about to a child that's old enough to understand. How many times you have to say no? If you ever have to say it over once, that's disobedience. And permissiveness has just reigned in America. Just do whatever you want to do. You see, parents told them a lot of times no. And when they didn't mind, they just done it anyway. Does it sound familiar? Are you listening? They got by. They wear you out a lot of times. Why in the world, if we say no, don't we mean no? Because let me tell you something. They do that to you, they will do it to God also. So when God comes along and prompts them to do something for him, they just wait it out. Doesn't bother them to say no to God too. If they'll say no to you, they'll say no to God. I don't know how you was raised, and I'm not trying to brag or anything else on the way I was raised, but I just want you to know something. Once Dad said no, I want to tell you something. I didn't ask again. I'm just telling you the truth. When Dad looked at me and said no, that was it. And I think, again, that's one of the reasons that I could look to my Heavenly Father when he said, I want you to give your life to preaching of the Word of God. I didn't say no to it. You understand? If you don't learn that in the home, you're going to have a real big problem telling God you'll do whatever he said to do. Amen? You see, part of the problem was when they start walking, instead of teaching them that they shouldn't get into something and there's going to be punishment if they do, we take the things and put them on a higher shelf. Why do you do that? Why do you put them up? Why don't you train them and teach them it means no? And leave them right where they are. Again, remember the age. It takes training. Okay? It takes time to train. But there should be a time when, you know what? You don't put stuff up from those children because you said no, and they're going to pay the cost if they touch it. And you say, well, Brother Ross, why is that so important? We're trying to train them down the road to mind God Almighty and do what he says. You understand? You see, there's permissiveness. We just let them do what they want. In fact, as they grow older, they find out in public, they can have a temper tantrum. They can cry. They can pout right out in public, and they get exactly what they want. You've seen it. You've been around in stores. You have seen it. It's a kid giving a temper tantrum, and all at once, pretty soon, the mother becomes frustrated. She grabs it off the shelf, what he wanted, puts it in the cart, and they go their merry way, and that child is happy. Listen, I'm going to give you a perfect illustration of what Don and I witnessed over in, it used to be Ryan's. It's been probably 3-4 years ago. We was over sitting and eating. And there was a family kind of over this way and a family over this way. This one woman, God's truth, this one woman had a little boy with her. And he would just get out of his seat and take off running. Here was the mother chasing after the little boy. Around and around through Ryan's. She'd find him, grab him, pick him up, bring him back, set him down. She was mad at him, you know, set him down. As soon as she had set him down, she'd start to sit down. He'd take off the other way. What did she do? She got up and chased him. I mean, this went on. Time and time again. On the other side was a family setting. A mom and dad and two children. Just as quietly, sitting and eating. Something, little commotion over there. You noticed that something was happening. The dad had said something. It was probably to the boy, tell you the truth. He said something to his boy, you know, and evidently the boy did something else. And he said, Mom, I'll be right back. He just scooped him up in his arm, went outside. And I know what that boy got. He came back as meek and mild as you could be, sat down and never hardly moved a muscle. Which kind of children do you want? You understand what I'm saying? If you don't teach them when they're young, you've got a real problem on your hand when they get to be a teenager. Amen? You see, the teens, by the time they're teens, they've heard a lot of threats and griping from mom and dad. But no spanking. They know if they go to school and misbehave, they won't get spanked. They know they won't fail them. Because, you know, there's no dress code for them, so they can dress any way they want to dress. They can carry knives if they want to. Write obscenities on the bathroom walls. And peddle drugs sometimes. And no one makes them mind. Why do you think they can get by with those things? Because they've gotten by with it in the home. Their homes has never said no and meant it. Permissiveness is killing us. We need to teach our young people that no means no. They get arrested and mom or dad or someone runs up and bails them out immediately. Gets them out of that wicked place. Leave them there. Leave them there for a while. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I was thinking the other day, I was thinking back on my family. And the family that I've known, Grandma and Grandpa and all of those, all of us kids, there was 9 of us children, there's not one of them ever spent a night in jail. I'm thankful for that. Law-abiding citizens. I didn't say we was perfect citizens. I can testify I wasn't. But what I'm just simply saying to you is, why? What is the difference? Because they're being taught things in the home. Back then, we was just taught some character traits, some things that you just had to do. It was right to be honest. And nowadays, many of those things are not being taught to children. They're getting by with murder. Amen? But what concerns me really most is it's in the church. I can understand the world, but it's in the church. You see, we've got the idea that our job many times in the church is to entertain children when they come in. Do we entertain? Yeah, they're a certain age. We give them fun and all that. But folks, we've got to give them the gospel. We've got to give them the word of God. It's about God and his word when they come to church. It's not here just a place to have fun with them. Amen. And if we have too much spiritual, if you have a dress code, they don't want to come back. You want to know why? Because they learned that in the home. You see, the homes, I'm telling you, are killing us. We've got to get our homes back on track with the word of God, you see. So, no, doesn't mean anything for the home, for the law, for the church, the school. No, doesn't mean anything because they've lived a life that they've heard it all of their life. No, don't you do that. But nothing was ever done about it. You understand? Do you know what? Why say no when you don't mean it? Why tell a child, don't you do that again, or I'm going to get you, and when he does it again, you don't do anything about it? Why in the world do we do that? Why don't we teach our young people that no means no and first time obedience? Now remember what I said, it takes time. Some of these little ones around here, it's going to take some training. They're going to have to learn what no means. But it shouldn't be too long that they learn first time obedience. You understand what I mean? And if they don't, there ought to be some consequences for that. You see, permissiveness in child raising will not work because it's contrary to the word of God. You understand that? No should mean no. God's word says that man is by nature evil. That's what we are. Here, listen to these verses of Scripture. In Ephesians 2:2, he says the children, calls us the children of disobedience. In the very next verse, he says, by nature, the children of wrath. That's what we are. He says in Matthew, the 26th chapter, he says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're weak. He said in Romans, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? He says in Jeremiah, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't have the ability to direct our steps in a godly way. We need God. We need his guiding. He says in Proverbs, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's got to be driven from him. Amen? He says, a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame. You can't leave a child to himself to just do whatever he wants to. He'll bring his mother to shame. Amen? He's got to be trained and helped. And then in Ecclesiastes it says, lo, this have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Boy, we're good at seeking out inventions, aren't we? And a child is good at seeking out inventions. And he's got to be helped and trained. You understand? Just to let a child do whatever he wants to do is a foolish, foolish thing. He's got to be trained. We've got to get back to training our children so that one of these days, God just may reach down and say, son, I want you to preach, or I may want you to be a missionary, I may want you to teach. Amen. I may just want you to be a strong pillar here in the church. And you know what you'll say? Yes, God. And never give one thought to saying no to Him. Amen. You see, we must begin to train and dedicate young people to be leaders. If we don't get that job done, America is lost. The supply house is being shut off. Where are we going to get our preachers? Where are we going to get them? You young people out there, I'm not telling you you're called to preach. I don't know if you're called to preach, but at least offer yourself. At least say, God, if you want me, I'm here until you call me. I'm just going to be here and faithful and do the will of God. Amen. Give yourself to the Lord, you see. You see, to be leaders, we must know what no means. Amen. We've got to do it. You can't be a leader if you're going to be permissive in your ways. So that first time obedience. If you say no, and they don't mind, that means, well, I didn't really mean it the first time. Why do we waste our time saying no? Why? You're teaching our children it's okay to wait it out and do whatever they want to do. Parents, we must first obey. We must first obey in salvation. We must be born again. And after that, we must obey an example before our young people. It isn't good enough for us to expect our young people to live right and us to live like the devil. No, it is not. That you're not going to win that one. We've got to set the examples. You know, I don't think I'll do this, but you know, I just almost tonight just like to say, young people, how many of you young people will say, I will obey my parents because it's right? Amen. How many, if I ask you to stand, not going to, how many would stand and say, I will do what God says and obey my parents? How many would stand tonight? Isn't that what the Word of God says?
Amen.
Amen.
And I just wonder here tonight, I just wonder how many would stand if I asked for that. Said, I will obey my parents because God says I'm to obey my parents. And then I wonder how many parents would stand. If I said to you, how many tonight would say, I absolutely will raise my children according to the Word of God, to the very best of my ability, I'll follow the Word of God in the rearing of my children. I wonder how many parents would stand and say absolutely and really mean it in their heart. Got to get back and getting serious about the things of God. You understand? We've got to raise a generation. This place is a mess. And I don't know what's going to happen on this election. I really don't know what's going to happen. But I want to tell you, if we get some of those people in, she's and he's, we're in trouble. But I also know that that's not the hope of America. Our God is the hope of America. So in the midst of it all, let's rear our children to the glory of God. We've got a lot of wonderful little children around here. Let's raise them for God. Amen. Let's getting the home, the supply house of God, reestablished. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness. For your marvelous grace, your goodness, help us, oh God, help our young people to love you and walk with you. Help us as adults to be a blessing and a help and an example to them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.